you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
This message was inspired by my everyday life. Every day I'm going through life and I work a day job, New Jersey. I don't know if anybody's from New Jersey. New Jersey is not a vacation destination point necessarily, but my wife and I and family, we all went to New Jersey last week for work, and you had to go to my meetings, and my wife got to enjoy the hotel with the children. And New Jersey has a number of interesting characteristics. None of the negative ones I'm going to talk about, but one of them is the jug handle. You know, you have to drive right to go left. It's like a scene from Cars, right? That's like Cars 1, 2, and 3 right there. That's one thing, the jug handle, I guess it's safer. The other thing that drove my kids and my wife crazy is the gas station. You cannot get out of your car at a gas station in New Jersey. They will come get you. They want to pump the gas for you in the gas station. It's full service gas. That's just the policy, the local legislation, how they have it set. Maybe it's safety, maybe it's job creation, I don't know. But that's it. So you have to pull in the full service, they pump your gas, and then you're supposed to tip them. Many of my children asked me, why do they need to pump the gas? Why? We can pump the gas. I've seen mom do it. I can do it. I have a video for you that I want you to grasp the meaning of pumping gas and how it works with your spiritual walk. Are you ready? So I have to get some gas this morning. Okay, so one more thing to do in the morning on my way to work. Wrong side. I forgot my coffee. Okay, so let me just move on over here. I'll just drive onto the other side and I'll put gas in my car. I got a lot going on. I'm texting, I'm emailing. Wait a minute. What? It's still on the wrong side. Too many texts and emails. I'll put the phone down. This time I will get gas into my vehicle. Pulling up now. Let me check it. Wait. They literally moved the gas tank. I gotta go talk to somebody, find out what's going on here. Okay, I now know what I need to do. I know how to get to the other side. I will get this gas in my car, no problem whatsoever. Here it is. Finally, I'm focused. Gas in the car, right? Wait a minute. I really have no clue what I'm doing. All right, here, just in case you missed it, she drove in one time. Then she turned around, turn one. Here it is. She's around turn one. Here she is at two times. Now she's there at turn two thinking, I'm going to put gas in my car. No, I'm going around now three times. I'm going to get gas in this car no matter what. I'm going to ask somebody what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to get back in my car, go around turn three for the fourth time, and I still don't have gas in my car. Do you want to see any more of the video? I'm going to spare you. I cut the video because I just thought that it made a very interesting point. It made an interesting point to capstone my message today and what I believe the Lord is speaking to me. I believe that the Lord in this message is calling us to a number of key points. The first message in the Next Level series was, God is moving us forward and talking about what he has for us next, in that it's forward, it's progress, and we can get forward quicker with some momentum. We talked about momentum and being able to take a running start and jumping further. Second message was on Father's Day, and we talked about the next level may be something from your past, that God literally may redeem something from your past, a dream, a promise, a purpose. He may redeem something that you have forgotten, left behind, felt like it was over. And the Bible talks about this redemption story and how he can redeem the positive from your past and bring it to fruition in your future. So God is redeeming our future. Today, we're going to talk about a totally new point, the third point, which is started by this question. Have you been going round and round with God lately? I'll let it settle. Maybe you're a Christian and you've been in Kingsway forever, and your walk just seems a little bit stale, a little bit mundane, as if you're not going anywhere. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe this is the first time in church, and this is the first time you've even contemplated God in a setting like this. And you wonder, who is God? What is God? Do I even believe in God? Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle, in a ministry somewhere, and you're wondering, why? Why do I seem to be circling the power? I see the power. I see the gas. I see the plug. I see where God wants me to be, but I can never seem to get there. I just continue to be doing this all of the time. Circling. I can't get my hands on what God has for me next. Does anyone feel that way? Has anyone ever felt that way? Let me offer you this. If you haven't, and you genuinely pursue God, and you're human, there probably will come a time where you feel like that lady driving around the gas station trying to get a hold of God and what he's got for you and your future. And so getting to the next level is about how we can avoid this going round and round like that sign says. Now, many of you may think, does the Bible talk about this? If it does talk about this, these are probably the Christians, or these are probably the people of the Bible that weren't holy. These are the people who we can ignore, because all the people in the Bible, none of them stalled, none of them went round and round. Really, I got a couple quick examples. What about this guy? He's important, right? I mean, I don't know, he split the Red Sea, walked on dry land, something about the Ten Commandments. He beat the Amalekites with God's help. He put water from a rock, he put manna from heaven. It's this guy. Surely he didn't go round and round and round wilderness for any period of time, did he? Yeah, 40 years. Why? I submit to you today, the reason why is he lost focus. Moses and the people, they lost focus on what God promised them and got distracted by what the world showed them. You see, he lost focus on what God promised him. He promised him a land. He took him straight to the land. He couldn't get past the border because instead of, well, I'll tell you what happened in a moment. What about this guy? What about this guy? He go round and round with God. You know, this guy, everyone knows this guy. This guy got stuck in the belly of a whale, right? They're doing a sight and sound special of the show right now. It's pretty awesome, by the way. I submit to you that this guy, that he lost focus too. He lost focus on what God was calling him to do in his life. He lost focus on God's calling in his life and got distracted by his own plans for his life. Does that apply to anyone? We all have plans. We're American, whether we're kids in the summer or whether we have a job or whether we're retired. We all have plans. And how many of us can be confident that what our plans are line up exactly with what God wants us to be doing? Because if they don't, you may, like Jonah, go round and round. Well, you may say, well, those are Old Testament people. Those are Old Testament people. And surely, if you saw God face to face, if you actually had a conversation with him and he told you what to do, you would do it and you wouldn't go round and round. So people come up to me and say, oh, I can't feel God. Oh, you know, Lord is not speaking to me. You know, why doesn't the Lord speak to me directly? Let me give you another example. How about this guy? Did the Lord speak to him directly? That's Peter. He was a disciple. He walked with God. He talked with God. Literally, God told him, don't deny me three times because I think you're about to do it. No, I won't do that. Of course not. Are you sure? Because I think it's about to happen. He was a little more harsh than that. Peter went round and round again. He lost focus on what he believed is true. He got distracted by what he believed would happen to him. Do we conduct our lives based on what we think is going to happen to us? Or do what we believe and what we know is true? Because the Word said it and God has spoken to us. Amen? So that is a tee up for this message. This message is about going round and round with God and stopping that cycle. And so the point of the message today is, how can we avoid this? So as I started reviewing Scripture and these people came to mind, it occurred to me that Moses could have avoided 40 years by walking straight into Canaan. You see, he walked right up to the precipice. He didn't go. He sent the spies in. He wasn't sure. He wasn't exactly confident. He didn't trust. He didn't obey. He had his own plans. It cost him 40 years. Jonah, he could have avoided 3 days in the belly of a whale if he went straight to Nineveh. He decided he had his own plans, his own calling. So he went his own way. Peter, he could have avoided shame, guilt, by being straight with the Jews. He could have told them, yes, this is the Lord your God. This is your Savior. There's a concept of straight here, going and walking straight, being straight with someone, being honest, trusting and obeying. There's this concept of straight. You see, that is what I want to talk to you about, because God's way is straight, is a straight way. And there are a lot of ways in our English language we muffle this word, but the Greek and the Hebrew is very, very clear. And so I want to talk to you today about God's way being straight. Amen? Amen. So what is straight? So I have this picture here. Did you see that? Anybody seen this on elementary board before? They say the quickest distance between two points is a? In physics, in math, in geometry, in space, it's all the same. Two points, the quickest distance between those two points is a straight line. The title of this message could be simply straighten up. That's one way I would think about it. Straight in a very real way means to focus. Straighten up is to focus up. Focus on where you're going. Focus on why you're going, on how you're going. Focus on getting there. Focus on point B. Find a way to stay on point, to not be distracted by what's happening on the left or on the right. That's how you are straight. So Rabbi Kahn said in this book something great. I wanted to repeat it here. He said, a straight line is a consistent line. It flows only in one direction. The opposite of a straight line is a crooked or wavering line, a line that's inconsistent and follows more than one direction. But the more one line wavers, the longer it takes to get to the same point. So the more you waver on your path in God, the more you veer back and forth, the more time it takes, the more effort you must put in, the more energy you must expend to get to the same place. The less you will go forward. You see, in the end, a wavering or crooked path is a much harder way than the straight path, which is much easier. For the straight path, it takes less time, less energy, less effort. It is a straight path that allows you to go further. God's way is straight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this second, this moment, as you're beginning to give these concepts to us, some are abstract, some are meaningful, some we're trying to figure out. Lord God, I pray right now you prepare our souls for your word and what you're about to say. I pray that, Lord, your word would find good soil prepared in our hearts and minds to understand what you are trying to say to us as we move to the next level. In Jesus' name I pray, a church says, God is good and all the time. Amen. We're moving now. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, you don't have to turn to it. If you want to turn, turn to 1 Samuel because that's where we're getting to. But right now, I want to read this from Isaiah. This is how I know the Lord's path is straight. This is what was said. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. This is a very important text. This is Isaiah, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, prepare a way for the Lord, clear a way for the Lord. It says, make a straight highway. Make a straight highway. There's a Hebrew word for this word, straight, and it's used in Scripture 20-some times, and here was one of the most important instances. He said, make a straight highway through the wasteland, through the desert for our God. God's way is straight. He wants to be on a straight path, a straight highway, a straight road. You see, this is what's interesting about this scripture. It's talking about preparing a way for God. What I'm talking about is how are you pursuing him in your life? How are you allowing God to speak to you in your life? Is it a straight path, or must he filter and go around all the obstacles and challenges in your own life? Have you prepared a straight path for him? And it's not just a regular, ordinary path. The word here he used was highway. It literally means a fast and expeditious, a fast path to your mind, to your heart. Have you prepared a straight path? The reason they used this word is back then, they didn't have roads and highways the way we do. You know, it was all forest and deserts and obstacles. And so they would have to take these, like, machetes and chop through the wilderness, chop through the woods, and literally create a path that was straight through whatever was in front of them so that we could get through it. This is an analogy towards that. Making your path straight. Are you following, church? The way of God is straight. Listen to what it says in the next verse, Isaiah 44. It says, fill in the valleys, level the mountains and the hills, straighten the curves, smooth out the rough places. I want to read it again. I want you to think about your own life. Do you have any valleys? Fill in them. Do you have any mountains? Level them. Do you have any curves? Straighten them. Do you have any rough places? Smooth them. In a sense, Isaiah was saying, this is what we need to do. This is what needs to be done in our lives. The point here is that in your life, in your walk, in your spiritual journey, you will encounter valleys. low points. This week, I was called and texted by a friend who hit an all-time low, and he needed encouragement. He was at a very low point in his spiritual walk, in his physical walk. The Bible says we need to fill in those valleys. You're going to encounter it. In order to make our life straight, we need to go through it, church, not around it. The way of God is straight. He wants to take you through the valley. He's going to help you fill it. He wants you to encounter the mountains in your life. You are going to encounter mountains. Mountains you feel will be much easier if you went around them. Mountains that perhaps you even consider climbing them. You see, the Bible's saying that you need to find a way to level them, church. The obstacles that are in your way, God has given you power. Faith is a mustard seed to move those mountains, to level the mountains in front of you, church. Listen to this next part. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Well, the rough places is easy. Like I told you, it was briar bushes and trees and all sorts of stuff that were in your way. You will encounter this in your pursuit of God. You will find things that are thorny, sticky, find things that don't allow you to quite grasp exactly what the word is saying. You could avoid it or you could smooth it out. You could put the effort in to get to the next level by going right through it, church. And so you have this concept of straighten the curves. It's the same straighten there. That's the same word before, straighten the curves. And it's talking about taking your curvy path and making it straight. Now, as I thought about this, you know, as a parent, kids driving and going down the street, I thought about this. Naturally, we tell ourselves to slow down. We say, when a curve comes, you want to slow down and go around the curve. It has a speed limit. It's generally slower. So you don't fall. You don't hurt yourself. And as I read this scripture, and I read it in a number of different translations, and I'm trying to understand it, it says straighten the curves. It literally meant if the path in front of you is to go before and straighten them first so that you can go through with tremendous momentum, that you can go through with momentum and progress and not slow down. He doesn't want you to slow down. He doesn't want you to stop and start. That is the enemy of momentum, the enemy of progress. He wants you to straighten the curves. Are you with me, church? I don't know if you are. So I scoured the internet, and I found a video, again, that will make my point very clear. Some of you need to straighten the curves out in your life. You're traveling along in your life. You're serving God. You feel like you got it all put together, but you have some distractions in your life as well. You have some things you think aren't going to bother you. They're not affecting your walk with God. They're not affecting what God is doing. They're certainly not going to affect you to get to the next level. They're just things you use maybe for entertainment or things you use on the side. And we'll get to what some of those things are. But at the end of the day, they represent a curve in your path, something that you need to navigate. The problem is when God picks up his momentum and you start moving, that curve may be a lot harder to navigate. Look at this. Look at this. Totally missed the curve. Right down, boom, hits the ground, rolls, he recovers. That's why I didn't mind showing it. No one got fatally injured. But watch, this is my favorite part. Here comes your friend. Here comes the guy behind you that was also doing and following you. Boom, there goes your buddy. Rolling, following your path. He got just as buffled as you did. Making your path straight, church. This is the way of God. He wants a straight path to begin to make progress in your life, to begin momentum in your life, to take you to the next level. If you don't straighten your curves, this will happen to you. This will happen to you, and you will fall, and your momentum will be gone. And as this video points out, whoever's following you, your spouse, your children, your coworker, your neighbor, they're going to do the same. Church, it is instrumentally important that you straighten the curves out in your life, that you make a straight path for the Lord to work in. Now you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 6. This is the story I wanted to tell today. It's going to be quick. I'm not going to go into much detail. I ran my wife through it last night, and she said she understood it. So I'm going to share it with you. This is a story from 1 Samuel. I'm not going to get into all the backstory of what's happening in Samuel and what's happening with the Philistines and the Ark of the Covenant. But I want to sort of paint a quick picture for you. We're talking about straight, and we're talking about going straight. What if you could bottle God up? Let me use a better image. What if you could box him up? Well, this is exactly what happened in the Old Testament. They boxed him up in a thing called the Ark of the Covenant, and they carried him. There was a special rules about how you had to carry the presence of God. And the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, they did this. Well, the Ark of the Covenant got lost. You see, the Philistines beat them down and took it as a trophy. And it began to bring plagues and judgment into their life. And so they wanted to get rid of it. And they weren't sure how to get rid of it. So they said, well, if God's path is straight, we'll put him in, he's in a box. We'll put the box out and we'll see if it goes straight. We'll see if it gets out of here. So how'd they do this? It's a very interesting story that I want to read you about what these Philistine people did with the Ark of the Covenant. If you read in 1 Samuel chapter 6, it starts at verse 7. You can read with me, or I'm going to read out loud in my story Bible so it's easy to understand. They said, now build a new cart and find two cows that had just given birth to calves. Make sure the cows have never been yoked to a cart. Hitch the cows to the cart, but shut the calves away from them in a pen. Put the Ark of the Lord on the cart. Then let the cows go wherever they want. If they cross the border of our land and go to Beth Shemesh, we will know that it was the Lord. So Beth Shemesh was the Holy Land. It was the place outside of Philistine where the Jewish people were. So they basically wanted to stack the deck. They had this covenant, this box, that they believed was cursed. And they wanted to get rid of it. And so they said, let's put this box on this cart with these two cows. Now, you got to understand this. They're literally trying to see if God is real here. They're saying, I'm going to take two cows, not donkeys, not horses, not mules, two cows that weren't used to pulling. And not even male cows, strong ones with the horns, the ones you see when I Googled this. No, female calves. And they're going to strap them up to this cart. And not just two cows who've never been yoked together. That means they've never pulled anything before. They're not used to pulling. This would be unnatural for them. It would feel something they would fight against. So they would be irritated. Not only that wasn't enough irritation. We're going to take two cows who had just given birth. And they had babies. And we're going to take the babies away. Now you got two distracted, irritated moms who are very upset. They don't have their babies. Their natural instinct is to go with their babies. And now they're being taken away and strapped to this thing they're not used to. And if that wasn't enough, they're not going to have anybody lead them. You know, nobody whipping or guiding or somebody in the front. They're literally going to say, just go. Just go. Let's see what happens. That's the story, church. It says, if they don't, we will know it was not the hand that caused this plague. It was simply by chance. So in verse 10, so these instructions were carried out. Two cows hitched to the cart, and their newborn calves were shut up in a pen. And the Ark of the Lord was placed on the cart. Completely stacked deck. What was the path of the Lord? The Lord had complete control of the situation. What happened next? There was no need to keep reading because I was so amazed by this, I put it on the screen. It says in verse 12, and sure enough, without veering off in any other direction, the cows went straight along the road to Beth Shemesh, lowing as they went. Get this picture. They put it up on the cows and they said, go. And the cows, they didn't fight each other. They didn't tussle. They didn't sit there and moan. And cry about their babies. They didn't wonder which way to go and try to communicate with each other. They went straight. They could have 360 directions. They found the direction to Beth Shemesh and went straight to it. How is that possible, church? How is it possible this story being in the Bible like this? At this point, it was no doubt that God was moving. It was obvious to the Philistine people. They got rid of the presence of God and were happy to see it go through these cows. You see, I believe, I submit to you, the way they got through this, how they got through this, was because of focus. Laser focus. Now, of course, this type of focus was God-given. God literally entertained. He literally encountered the cows and gave them a very straight, committed focus, a straight line to follow. How does this apply to you? How does this apply to the next level? Do you work with somebody who you don't want to at work? Maybe you're yoked to somebody at home. Maybe it's in ministry. Oh, God can't work with me because I have to work with this person. God can't work in this situation. There's not unity. There's not this. God can't work here. That's not your problem. Your problem is focus. Focus on what God is trying to do in your life, not who you're yoked to. Perhaps you have to do something that goes against your natural instinct. Perhaps you have to do something for the Lord in ministry or at church, or you have to say something at work, or you have to stand up for God, something that goes against what your natural instincts tell you to say or do. It goes against perhaps maybe what you want to do. You think that's your problem? That's why you're not going to the next level? That's not your problem. God can work through that. You need to focus on what God is doing in your life. Maybe it's, I don't have the gifts and talents to do this ministry. I don't have the gifts and talents to go to the next level. I don't have the gifts and talents to do this. God doesn't need your gifts and talents to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He needs your focus, your commitment, your consistency. Are you following, church? You see, maybe some of you today, like, I can't do this. I don't have anybody to lead me. I have no one to lead me. No one who's done this before. No one who's in front of me showing me what to do, showing me each step to take. No one's guiding me. I don't have another ministry leader or a pastor, or I don't have a prayer helper, or I don't have a family member or a spouse that can lead me. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to give up. That's my problem. Lord, send someone to lead me. That's not your problem. Your problem is focus. Focus on what God is doing in your life, and he can work through that. No matter who's leading you, no matter what your yoking is, no matter if it comes naturally or not, he can use you. Amen? Now, in this context, church, and again, I know this is teaching and less preaching, but I need you to get a hold of why we're talking about the next level and that you guys are ready to move, that you guys are ready to blow this church up. You're ready to take us to the next level. You just need a little more encouragement and see it's not just Sean blowing smoke. This is from the Word of God. I'm reading it word for word. Truth. This verse here, this is interesting. Proverbs 3:3-6. How did I get a hold of this? Two ways. One, this message, like I mentioned, in New Jersey, and then I was thinking about the gas, and we were talking about going round and round, and saw the video, and then my friend called me this week. And I had a friend who was in desperate need of help, help I could not give him. I wasn't there. I wasn't right there to intervene. I could only text and call. He had reached an all-time low, the type of low that when you get there, you want to give up. The type of low that you feel like there are no more options. Not another job, not another spouse, not another child, not another dollar, not another minute. There are no more options. The low is so low, it's worth being over. And so he calls me with this problem. And I scramble to pray for him, to help him. You remember my message from last summer. I wasn't trying to fix it. I wasn't trying to move on. I was trying to understand, trying to recognize, trying to listen to him. And this verse came to mind, Proverbs chapter 3, and I shared it with him. I mentioned the ideas he has and the things that are going through his mind, the things in his life. The problem with that is they were his, and they were not for his benefit. They were not for his glory. The word tells us to trust not in our own understanding. To trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall direct your path. And that's what I said to him. The Lord will help you. I will pray, and the Lord will direct your path, but it requires you to stop thinking the way you're thinking. Stop leaning on your choices, your plans. Stop being distracted by what's in your life and focus on what God is trying to do. And this person wasn't even a diehard Christian. He was open to anything at this point. And as I began to think about this verse, I went back and I was studying this, and I remembered from days when I used to study this before, direct your path is how it's translated, because it makes sense when you look at it that way. But if you go back and look at the King James and the original text, this word actually was the same exact word used in Isaiah, the same exact word used in Samuel, the same exact word is straight. He will straighten your paths. My point, church, is I'm telling you need to straighten your path. And I'm telling you how to do it. It's very simple. Here it is. Trust in the Lord. Give it over to him. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Stop trying to figure out all these things you need to do to rearrange your life and try to figure out how to make yourself perfect or better, or try to figure out how some way you can be the best Christian you could be, because you're just being judged by everyone else and you're saying this never good enough. Church, what I'm trying to explain to you is you need to lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all that you do. You need to be pursuing God with a focus that is so committed and so consistent that you will not stop until you get there. And when you do, he will make your path straight. He will begin to remove distractions from your life. The rabbi said it like this: to walk straight is to walk with a single aim, a single motive, a single goal, a single heart. Eliminate any wavering to the right or to the left. Whatever does not line up with your calling, with your faith, with your convictions, with your purpose, eliminate it. You eliminate it with your actions, with your words, with your thoughts. When you walk straight, everything lines up. Your words, your actions, your thoughts, with your faith. Your life becomes lined with your heart. There are a lot of ways in Christianity that you hear things like straight edge, for instance. It's a concept that is often given to the younger generation. Chris and I stepped out. You would say this to the youth, and it would be this term to define you living your life a certain way. No smoking, no drinking, no listening to this music, no doing that. It's a term that you hear sometimes, and I hear people say it, and I know what they mean, but I wonder if they really understand what straight means. Because straight, church, has nothing to do with am I doing too much of this or too little of this or not enough of this or too much of that. No, you see, it's very clear. Let's take another look at it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, many of you know this verse. You could quote it from mine. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, this wasn't written in Hebrew. This is Aramaic and Greek, so it's a different word. But the word that they used for narrow gate is straight. The word that they used for small gate, for narrow road, is straight. You get the term straight and narrow? It comes out of this concept. Walking the straight and narrow is about focus. In order to get through the gate, you need to be squarely focused on getting through the gate because it is so narrow. It requires an unrelenting focus, church. And that is what I'm trying to tell you. God's way is a way that is straight and focused, church. And often we get so distracted with everything going on in our lives, the last thing we want to do is focus on Him, pray to Him, worship Him, go to church, go to Bible study, go to small group. Those things are in our way of our own path. But the way to the next level is straight. So I wanted to say something here to the older generation. Older generation, I encourage you to not despise what you think you see and you hear with the young people. It's not what they're wearing or saying or doing. That's judgment. But it's the level of focus we need to be concerned with, church. If their focus is on the things of God, God can use that to change their lives, to benefit the kingdom. And in many cases, He already has, regardless of what they're wearing or saying or doing. God is using them. And yes, God often has to clean them up as they go along. Of course, He has to trim around the edges and clean up, but that's God's job to do it, and He will do it once they're focused. Our job is to help them to get focused, and that is what straight means. This is not about alcohol or music or tattoos or smoking. This is about focus. And those things, now, I guess before I preach to young people, I have something to say to you. Don't demonize the older generation for advice they give you and the way they give it to you. You see, because it's through their experiences that they realize how easy it is to lose focus, how easy it is to be distracted in this world, how difficult it is to hold focus. Younger generation, it is our responsibility to be laser focused on the fact that this world is very difficult. Is destroying around us, and we need to have Jesus Christ at the center of our lives. That's why I tell my kids the most important thing in a whole wide world is, any of them, Austin, to live for Jesus. Amen? We got to get rid of the distractions. It is the distractions that are pulling us away from studying the Word of God. It's what's on Netflix or what's playing in the movie theater or what new restaurants opened up. And these things in and of themselves are not bad, by the way. God wants you to enjoy your life, and He wants to bring blessings into your life. He does. He wants you to be prosperous and have a hope for your future. But you need to balance that with the distractions of pulling away from what God is trying to do to your next level. When you come and ask me, why am I not moving to the next level? I'm going to ask you, what are you distracted with? The next level is imminent. He has a straight path to it. Will you follow Him? Will you go? Will you? Church, by the way, this comes right out of the Bible. I read it. You don't even need the Bible to understand this point. I went to Pinterest, and the first thing I found when I looked up this was this. Starve your distractions and feed your focus. It's well said, church. We have to find a way to eliminate all the wavering in our life. Whatever is not in line with God's will, we need to eliminate. And we need to find a way to walk and live in a straight line. This is what straight means. This is what we're thinking, straight edge, the straight and narrow, that God is trying to work a way in your path. He's trying, do you remember back in Isaiah? He's trying to help you, church, to not have those super, super lows. He's trying to fill your lows. He's making sure that you don't get off kilter and distracted with the super, super highs, chasing the churches, chasing the best worship, chasing the best ministries, so that your spiritual experience is up here all the time, chasing it. He's trying to level the mountains. He's trying to help you straighten your curves so you don't go right off in the midst of the road you've already set for God. And he's trying to smooth the rough places. That's Isaiah 40, verse 4. I'm closing with this last verse. Some of you today may be listening to me, and you may say, I don't know how to do what you're saying. I've tried. I just can't get there. Some of you may be saying, what's at the end? What is in the next level for me? Why should I be so excited to get there? So many great questions, so many more sermons to talk about, to preach and to teach and to share God's word in the weeks to come. But it was when I was in Isaiah and him talking about preparing the way, straightening the road, the mountains and the valleys and the curves and the rough places, that I found this next verse. And it didn't take long. I only had to read one more. I only had to go from 3-4. I had to read to 5. And the Lord said this in verse 5. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. You see, church, you see, this was Isaiah talking about the coming of Jesus Christ and him being revealed in our lives and everyone seeing it. Have you experienced the power of Jesus Christ in your life today? Have you experienced what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life today? Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and he gave his life for you to have a future and a purpose, for you to have a straight road to get to the next level, so that it may be revealed not just to you, but to everyone that could see you. Church, the next level is allowing Jesus Christ to be glorified in your life even more, to be revealed in your life even more. If you want something to focus on, it's to focus on what is Jesus Christ doing in your life. And think back to him dying on the cross every time you get distracted, every time you don't know what to focus on, every time you're confused about which way to go. Lean not on your own understanding. Look to him and allow him to make your path straight. Amen.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with his people, his purpose, and his power. God bless you.